In Ephesians chapter number 1, thanks guys. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 18, the Bible says these words. You're welcome to be seated. We'll have you so much. We'll have you so excited in this place that you'll jump the whole day. Amen. Ephesians 1:18, the Bible says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let me read from verse 18 again, or 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, please note that the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. And what I want to speak to you tonight about is, I just want to read this because I want you to understand, we are in a season and we are in a time right now where people need to hear and they need to understand, they need to perceive of their hearts the time and the moment that we are finding ourselves in. Are you guys with me? And I believe that where we are right now is the Bible, who of you know that the Bible tells us everything? Listen, we're not in a season and a time where the Lord has caught things or caught the world off guard. God has told us everything in the Bible. Everything is here that we need to know. But to live according to the word of the Lord is a choice. Are you there? We can ignore the things of the word, or we can choose it and we can live according to it. The Bible says we should not be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, right? Come on, guys, are you with me? And I want you to get to a place tonight. I want to stretch you a little bit because I want you to understand one or two things. And I'm going to go to Mark 4 to bring a perception into this tonight. Because again, I say, God doesn't want us to be hearers, and God doesn't even want us to be believers. Because even the demons believe and shudder. God wants us to be doers, which means that we understand that we are citizens and we don't belong to a club, we belong to a kingdom. Are you there? Are you with me? And this morning I shared that God is all about where our hearts are at this moment. And I've never seen a season or a time or a moment where people's hearts have had so many things that could speak to us as in this season. There are many things that are contending for your heart right now. There are many things that are contending for your attention right now. Are you guys with me? And I want to just bring a little bit of perspective out of the scripture, and then I'm going to tell you one or two very critical prophetic things tonight, and then hopefully I will be able to activate you as the Holy Spirit empowers us to do tonight. In Mark chapter number 4, verse number 37 to 39, the Bible says this, and I'll bring it into context tonight. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And Jesus arose, and I want you to see what he does. Jesus arose, and he rebukes the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I want to please note, want you to understand one or two of the things that I want to give you perspective to tonight. It's more than 2 years ago now that plus minus all of our lives shifted when suddenly a sickness came onto the scene, which the Bible calls a pestilence. 2 years back, people were very happy when we went into lockdown and all of these situations that were happening around the world. And people were celebrating the fact. 2 years later, people are not that idiotic anymore. People understand there's something behind this. Are you there? But what I wanted to... Oh, come on. Is there anybody here? Okay. So, man-made plans always falls in the agenda of God. Can I say that again? Man-made plans always falls into the eternal agenda of God. In other words, there's nothing that man plans that's outside of the complete eternal dominion of God. God is in control, full stop. God is so much in control that when the enemy attacks Job, God literally needs to ask God for, or Satan needs to ask God permission to attack Job to a certain dimension. Because the Bible says the place around Job was demarcated and Satan knew it. And so for him to attack to a certain place, he needed to have the Lord's permission. And so what we have seen over the last 2 years, and I want you to scream back at me tonight, we have seen a shifting and a shaking and a moving, and many people have lost a lot of stuff through the season. However, there is a remnant that has come through this season, And I believe this is a remnant that God is going to throw His Spirit upon or pour His Spirit upon in this season and in this hour so that we can do greater things for His name's sake, because we have to understand that He's still the master of the winds and the waves. There's no wind and there's no wave that will ever come across the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that He doesn't have the power to rebuke and speak to and call back in line. Oh, come on. So it is true that you have power, but you also have authority. You always have authority over the storms you can sleep in. Are you with me? The disciples, they find themselves in a storm. Like many of us, we find ourselves in a storm. And I want to just want to say this tonight, that most of the disciples didn't have a clue what was going on, as did most of us. We didn't know what was happening to us. But as the storm went, we started to understand there is something more to this than what meets the eye. Are you there? Oh, come on. Is everybody with me? And so the disciples, they were thinking, listen, we have a wave problem here today. You know, Jesus maybe didn't look at the weather quite like he needed to. But that was not the issue. The issue was that there wasn't a wave problem. There was a wind problem. In other words, there was a spiritual attack happening, which Jesus was about to address. Are you there? Come on, are you with me? And so the Bible says that the waves beat into that boat. The waves beat into the boat. It's actually a word, epibalo, in the Greek, and it means to throw something into something. The word balo means to throw again and again and again. It's the same word, for example, for the word devil. When you have the word dia, it means to penetrate. The word balo means to throw something again and again and again. In other words, when the disciples were trying to get the buckets of water out of their boats, or out of the boat, Jesus was asleep. The master sleeps the disciples' bucket. You have to understand a contradiction. Same storm, two different responses. Oh, come on, are you guys with me? I'm preaching better than what you are responding, by the way. And so I want you to see something here that, again, I say that we have to understand the times and the seasons and the moments that we are finding ourselves. I've never seen a time and a season where people are not getting where we are. It's like this morning I spoke to somebody and they said, how can we be free of this? How can we be free of that? It's easy. Stop sinning. Serve the Lord. Be free. Are you guys with me? If this is the time and the hour that we need to understand where we're at. Are you there? The disciples sat Jesus down. They asked Jesus a question. They says, what will be the sign of thy coming? When will be the end of the world? That's a question that they ask him. Jesus tells them, He tells them amongst many things, He says to them, these signs you will see just before you will see me coming back, or before you see this age coming to an end. And what age? A gentle age, the age of the church. So Jesus says these signs will come. So what signs have we seen up to now? Just think of me here, church, a little bit. What signs have we seen? We have seen pestilences. The word pestilence in the Greek means, it's a very simple word, but it means old sicknesses found again. New sicknesses never found again, suddenly appearing. Are you there? And then there's something interesting in the Greek. It's actually the word for man-made diseases appearing. It's the word pestilence. And so have we seen that? Yeah, I think so. But I want you to see here, and this is what I want to establish. I want to establish the authority of Christ. Because once you as a believer understand you have authority, then it's not power against power, it is power and authority versus power. Listen, do you believe that the Bible says He will not give you anything that you are more tempted not to, that you cannot bear it? The Scripture says, you will never face anything in your life that He doesn't empower you to overcome. We have faced death in this season, have we overcome it? Yes. We have faced setback in the season. Have we overcome it? Yes. We have faced difficult seasons. People have gone through anxiety, depression, more suicides than ever before, more joblessness than ever before. We are in a crisis. That's why we need God. Oh, are you there? And so I want you to listen to this. Can I just teach for 2 seconds on this? This is power scriptures. The Bible says, and there arose. The word "there arose" is the Greek word for ginomai, or is the Greek word ginomai, and it means it came out of nowhere. So suddenly the disciples, they were going, I want you to understand this, I'm going to bring everything in context. The disciples had a meeting with Jesus, Jesus was preaching his first sermon, and when he was preaching his first sermon, the Bible says he had more than 5,000 people there right at his first sermon. That's a very good start, by the way. Okay, signs, wonders, miracles. Then Jesus gets into the boat, the disciples get into the boat with him. He's on his way to the other side. He wants to go to Gadara. At Gadara is Satan's prized possession, the man with the legion full of devils. And the devil doesn't want Jesus to reach his end destination. Are you with me? Everybody okay? And then suddenly the Bible says a storm arose, Ginnamai, out of nowhere. Not just any storm, a hurricane type of storm, because that's the word that is used here. So it is a mega wind, a mega storm, a mega issue. It's a problem. And you find Jesus sleeping. Oh, come on, are you with me in power? I'm going to bring this in context because I want you to understand. Jesus is sleeping, and it's not because he's sleeping because he's ignorant of the storm. He's sleeping because he has power over the storm. And he's not moved by what the disciples are moved by because he's not on the same agenda. He's on his Father's business. Because he said, I did not come to do my business, I came to do the Father's business. In other words, everywhere else in the Bible, you'll find Jesus doing the Father's business, and the enemy would set a trap for him and he'll escape the trap. Why? The Father would tell him, listen, attack coming. Come on, everybody there. And so the disciples wake Jesus up. The word wake here is the Greek word resurrection. In other words, they shake him. He's sleeping like a baby. They shake him. They say to him, do you not care that we are dying or we are perishing? And the Bible says Jesus does not do what the disciples are doing. They are not attacking the waves. He does not attack the waves. He attacks what is behind the waves. The Bible says he speaks to the wind. Why does he speak to the wind? Because if you study the word epibalo, you'll find that there was a spiritual force throwing the waves against that boat on that lake on that night. And Jesus understood that it's not flesh and blood that we're dealing with here. No, it is powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness, wickedness of high places, Ephesians 6. And he takes authority in the spiritual realm, he addresses it in the spiritual, and then he addresses the natural. As you sit here tonight, you have to understand, you cannot beat the enemy in the natural. You have to take the enemy on in the spiritual, then announce it in the natural. Oh, come on. Jesus, the Bible says he's been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Why is it in heaven and on earth? Guys, listen to me. Because Adam had authority just on the earth. He was given dominion on the earth. But the Son of Man came as the last Adam. Guys, help me. The Son of Man came as the last Adam to finish the work of the first Adam. And then he regained all power, all authority, and he established it in two places. In heaven and on the earth. Then he rose and he told his disciples, go wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, I'm going to send you on assignment, but before I do, I'm going to send you power. Because with the assignment comes the assistance. Oh, come on. Is there anybody that's with me here tonight? Come on, just give Jesus some praise, possibly. Are you guys? Oh, come on. The word in this church is too good. Yeah. The church, listen, the church of Jesus Christ, it's not a man-made idea, it's his idea. I find it very interesting when people say, yeah, but I can do church in my house. And yes, you can. But, if you don't come to church, let me give you an analogy for it. You can say, I don't need to come to church. No, I'm happy where I am. And God bless you as you are. But here's the problem. You can ignore the church for only so long. Then you're going to be in trouble. Let me liken it to something. You can say, that's my wife, but I don't need to talk to her. It's true, but you're not going to have a very good marriage very quickly if you ignore your wife. Are you there? You can watch your wife all day long on the TV, but unless you have intimacy with her, unless you dine with her, unless you break bread with her, ultimately she cannot do much for you. She stays distant from you to the measure that you don't partake of her. Okay, maybe that's too deep for a Sunday night. What I'm saying to you, the Bible didn't call us to look like the church. The Bible said, be the church. Oh. You see, there is something called Christianese. We talk like Christians. That's never what he said. He said, be the church. He said, demonstrate. He said, show up. He said, cast out devils. He said, heal the sick. He said, freely have received, freely give. Come on. Nowhere. As he said, we can just be and be comfortable. No, he said, go into the world. We're still having issues of going into the world. Amen. And so that as Jesus is sleeping, he takes control. And I want you to see what he does. He uses the word rebuke. People don't understand this word rebuke. The word rebuke here is a military term. Oh, where's Pastor Eric? This is good. The word rebuke is a military term. I'm thinking about Pastor Eric because Pastor Eric's father was a military man. Rebuke is a military term, which means come in line. In actual fact, the word rebuke here means I'm outranking you, fall into your place. That's Jesus for you. So when Jesus deals with the invincible realm, he says, fall into place. I'm outmatching you with power and authority. Get back into position. But here's the thing I want you, here's the thing I want you to get tonight. The Bible says after a mega storm, there was a mega calm. Because Jesus will always outmatch, that's what the enemy is trying to do. And if you look at the season that we are finding ourselves in, is everybody still okay? The church is Jesus' legal entity on the earth to enforce the kingdom here. By the way, it's called the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. Let me say that again. It's called the Great Commission. It's not called the Great Suggestion. He doesn't suggest to us heal the sick. He doesn't suggest to us be the light. He doesn't suggest to us be the salt. He commands us, do it. Why? Because there'll come a day where the Bible says we will need to give a report back to God. Are you with me? The Bible says all men will stand in front of him, Romans chapter number 14, and give an account of their lives. The word account means a cryptic analysis of your daily decisions. Can you imagine standing in front of the king? And he literally stands there with Gabriel, with Michael, with angels, with all of his power. And he takes your life and he rolls it out and he says, okay, tell me, why did you do this? And we will have to say, oh, I don't want to be many people. The church is listen to me. The reason why Satan is attacking the church so heavily and the reason why we have all these different things is because simply the church is the only authority that can stop the enemy on the planet. It's true. The church is the moral authority, the restrainer. And without the church, the societies will collapse. Take a church, take this church out of this area, you'll see this whole area will collapse. Why? We are the moral agent. We are the spiritual authority. We're keeping the devil out. We're keeping salvation in. Yeah, we call the light. But I want you to understand something. Light has never been called to be together all at one place. I know you do that like that at your houses in your salt pots, but that's not the way he constructed it. God takes salt and he throws it everywhere. Why? Because as you throw salt everywhere, everything becomes salty. Come on, are you with me? It is a fact that the nature of salt is there to dominate. Okay, let me throw this one at you. If you have a steak and you throw the steak full of salt, and you throw in too much salt, you will say it is too salty. You will forget about the nature of the meat and you'll remember the salt. Are you with me?
the purpose why he said,
oh, it was a tongue twister there.
The reason why he said spread like salt is because he wanted to infiltrate.
Are you with me? Now listen to this. Say with me.
Ears.
Listen. Okay. Let's go for this. Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 12 says this. And because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who perseveres to the end shall be saved. What are we seeing right now in this hour? We are literally seeing that because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of many people are busy starting to grow cold. Again, I say, we have never seen people. Do you know that we are the most medicated generation that has ever walked the planet? Do you know that we are, it's true. We use the most medicine than any generation before us. Do you know we have the most technology at our hands, at our disposal, than any generation before us? Do you know that right now Jesus predicted? How do you like this for Jesus? Can I quickly tell you about Jesus, how awesome Jesus is? Right now we can spread the gospel into every part of the earth. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 24, it says this. Are you guys here? Are you learning? Listen, and this gospel, verse number 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nation, and then the end will come. I want you to see it. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. The word preach here is the Greek word kereso, and the word world there is the word for literally reaching every soul in every house through modern day technology. It's literally the word. If I had my Greek dictionary now, I would have explained that word for you. But it literally means that we are living in a season or a time. Let me just make it simple. We're living in a season and a time now where God can reach everybody with the gospel. Come on, are you with me? So in this season, in this time that you and I are living in, we have to ask the question, why have God chosen you to live in this hour? Why now? He could have chosen you to live any season, but He chose you to live in this season. It's because you carry the necessary DNA that God wants to use in this hour to bring in the saints from the north and the south and the east and the west. For an example, right now, as I stand here, we are one church, many locations. How is that possible? Through technology, through relationships. Now we've started to spread across the nation. Why? Like salt. We are busy infiltrating different areas. Prior to COVID, this was impossible. Now, in this season, we can do it. Oh, come on, are you guys with me? And all that He wanted from us is perseverance. So if you ask me, what are you saying tonight? I'm saying to you this tonight, that many of you have gone through storms, and through this season, there might have been different types of storms. But all along, you've had a master in the boat. That is the master of the winds and the waves. And He does not battle with the waves. He speaks and He addresses the spiritual realm. Because He's given you power and He's given you authority. There's nothing that can come against your life in this season. That's why I say we never deny the facts, but we also never throw out the truth. There's facts and then you get truth. Facts is the factual stuff that has happened around us. Truth is something a whole other level. The Bible says the truth sets you free, not the facts. Are you with me? And even the facts are questionable. Oh, come on. Is there anybody here tonight? And so, please listen to me. The Bible says, but... let me just go back. Because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. In other words, what the scripture is here saying, very, very simple. Jesus is saying, because we are the generation that will see many things happening in front of our eyes. For an example, we have just gone through 2 years of a pestilence, right? You've been trained, you've been indoctrinated. Come on, are you with me? So we are doing certain things now in this season. Okay? But seasons come and seasons go. But the word of the Lord remains forever.
So right now, we can be focused on what the enemy is doing, or we can be focused about what God is busy doing. So let me tell you what the Lord is busy doing. The Lord has already foretold the seasons, the map, and the plan. So He left nothing for you to doubt about. He told you everything. He told you nation will rise against nation. He told you pestilence will come, earthquakes will come, famines will come. He told you you will hear about wars and rumors of wars. He says that all of these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then He said to you, we will be this generation that once you see all of these things happening quickly upon one another, this generation will not see the end until all things have come to pass. So we know the Bible and we know the scriptures. But it's not good enough just to know the Bible. It's what you do with your knowledge that counts before the Lord. Are you with me? It is like going outside and seeing it's dark and telling people it's dark. So what? Do something about it. Come on, guys. Are you with me? Now, the Bible says the multiplication of wickedness and the love of most will grow cold. Now, for us to understand this completely, I just want to add another scripture here. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 15. I know your deeds. Listen to Jesus. I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either or the other. Listen to him again. I know your deeds. Please listen. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either or the other. In other words, he is saying, I wish you were cold or hot, but I don't like it that you are lukewarm. Why is he saying that to the people? Why does he not like lukewarm? Because lukewarm Christians have lost their impact. Are you there? Where does lukewarmness come from? Lukewarmness comes from a place where people have lost proximity to the source. Come on, are you with me? And there's only one thing that can make you become lukewarm. Can I tell you what makes you lukewarm? Oh, come on, is there Christians here tonight? You know, listen to this. This tells you exactly how many people are acting right now. Then he said to them, Luke 14, verse 16, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to those who were invited. Come, for all things are ready. Like we are now, all things are ready. But they all made excuses with one accord. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to excuse me. And another said, I've bought five yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask that you excuse me. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes and the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you've commanded, and still there's room. Then the master said, say to the servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come into my house so that my house may be filled. But listen now, verse 24, dangerous scripture. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. In other words, because people are allowing a distance from the source, they are allowing a space in between them and the master. Come on, guys. Are you guys with me? Lukewarmness is something that happens. And I want you to understand this, because if you don't understand this, I can't bring the whole sermon into context for you tonight. And I can't get you to a place of victory tonight, because I never want to just teach you and inform you. I want to have you to apply the word of the Lord so that you can do the word of the Lord. Information, revelation, activation. If I give you information tonight, it is for the sake of revelation, for the sake of activation. It's never about just revelation, because the revealed word of the Lord is for action. Save me action. Okay, so the disciples knew, or when Jesus used this terminology of lukewarmness, it was all about distance from source. Because he built in the time that he made this pipe, or the Laodiceans made this pipe, what happened was the Laodiceans wanted all the people to have fresh water. And then they started to construct a pipe. But what they did two things wrong. The pipe that they used were a clay pipe, and it was a very long pipe. And the further the water needed to travel from source, what happened was the water started to pick up sediment and picked up clay and picked up minerals and picked up a lot of stuff. And by the time it came to the consumer, it was lukewarm, and people wanted to spit it out. They couldn't drink it. Now you say, okay, but I don't understand. Let me give you another scripture. Jesus gives a rebuke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, you brood of vipers. Why does Jesus call them a brood of vipers? Why does Jesus call them snakes? Because in Israel, it's a very hot country. Are you guys with me? Everybody still saved here? I'm bringing everything. I'm helping you. Even if you don't know it, I'm helping you tonight. He says, you brood of vipers. Why does Jesus call them vipers? Because in Israel, it was a very hot country. And the people often went into caves to go and hide from the heat. Now Jesus says, I call you vipers. Why? Because many times as people would go into the caves to hide from the heat, snakes will come out and it would have struck them, bitten them, and people would have perished. So Jesus is saying, I call you vipers because you should have brought refreshing to my people, and you have not brought refreshing to my people. You have burdened my people, and therefore I call you snakes. Not a very nice thing to say. Why am I saying what I'm saying? The worst thing a Christian can be is when the world comes to us to seek the master and they find a lukewarm saint. Because the saint has allowed distance to come in. What makes distance come in? Luke 14. Busyness. Me, myself, and my world. My job. My things. All things that the enemy has programmed in this season. Listen, none of them is an excuse in front of him. Because in all these things, we should serve the Lord. Oh, come on. Okay. And so I want you to understand this. Why am I sharing all of this that I'm sharing tonight? The disciples made a fatal mistake in understanding what is happening because they had not spiritual perception. They were thinking, oh, just the wave. Sounds like 2022. No, it's just, just whatever. No, it's not whatever. It's an attack from the pit of hell. We need to understand what we're dealing with. It's not even people that have thought out this plan. It's the enemy that is busy programming things because he's preempting things. He's trying to rush the timetable. Listen, the enemy understands that after Joel 2:20 comes Joel 2:28. In Joel 2:28, the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit from on high. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your young people will, or all flesh will prophesy. Young people will see visions. Old people will dream dreams again. In other words, we have to understand after the season comes an outpouring of the spirit like we have not seen before. Because he's coming for victorious, overcoming. Oh, I don't know if you guys are getting this tonight. I pray you do. Secondly, I want to say this, that as I spoke to you this morning, God wants our hearts to shift back to him. And this morning I challenge you, I said to you in this morning service, that we have to know that when God asked for Isaac, he wasn't just asking for anything. He was asking for where Abraham's heart was at. He said, give me your heart. Give me your son whom you love. Give me your heart. And then the Bible says that Abraham needed to give God his whole heart before the Lord would entrust him with the promise. May I be as bold as to say tonight, I believe we're in an hour now where we have to understand with everything that is happening around us, we have to drive into the kingdom. Okay, let me go for another scripture. I want to break this atmosphere. You know, I will not relent until I get the truth to you. I've been around too long. I've preached on too many pulpits. I couldn't care. I want to break free. And I want to get you to freedom. Listen to what Jesus says. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. In other words, in the season that we are in now, the closer I am to Jesus, the easier it is for me to understand what is happening in my world. The further I'm away from the Spirit of the Lord, the more difficult I will find it to understand what is happening in my hour. Are you there? I cannot remember a time and a season where we've preached as fervently as we've done now, because we want the people to rise up in this hour. It took me 4 weeks to shake off the dust of COVID from this church. 4 weeks of laying hands on everybody so I can dust people off, so that people can understand you cannot be worldly and a Christian. In the book of James 4:4, God doesn't even play here. And he says, God throws this one out. Can I read for you what James says? Because people don't understand the extent to what many have fallen in this hour. James 4:4, listen to this. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Verse 4, listen to Jesus. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. In other words, I cannot look like the world and look like the kingdom. I need to choose one. Because I'm in the world, but not of the world. Oh, come on, are you getting what I'm saying? If you are in the world, what you're going to do, you're going to do exactly like the disciples have done. You're going to try to throw out water out of your boat. And the problem is you're going to run out of energy, and you're going to run out of gifting, and you're going to run out of all a lot of stuff. But when you understand that you are not of the world, you are in the world, but we belong to a kingdom, then you will focus on the kingdom and you will start to address the right things so that the boat does not sink. The reason that many people's boats are sinking right now is because they are trying to achieve Christianity without the King. We have to bring the King back as the central focus. He that knows the King lives a clean, holy, separated, consecrated life unto God. The Bible says he's coming for a pure bride. He's coming for a victorious bride. Listen, I want to encourage you tonight. Whatever you do, look like the King. You say, it sounds weird. Let me give you an example. If a bride comes walking down that aisle and her dress is all dirty and looks messed up, as the groom, you're going to stand there like, who are you? Why are you dressed like that? Jesus did not pay the full price, church, that we can play and negotiate with sin. He paid the full price so that you can rebuke the winds, so that you can cast out the evil spirits, so that you can heal the sick, so that you can give the good news. That's why he died. He died to give you a kingdom. Oh, come on. What makes us different as Christians in this hour? We are kingdom citizens. So in this whole scenario that the disciples are finding themselves in, you have two groups of people here. Very, very simple. You have believers and you have a citizen. I'll close with this because I want you to understand. The believers are bucketing mortar. They're like, we have a water problem, man. We're gonna drown. They not very quickly after that, they want to blame God. They're like, don't you care about us? Jesus wakes up, citizen. Says, you don't have a wave problem. You have a wind problem. Let me rebuke the wind. He addresses the wind. The wind dies down. This morning, we called out 6 people that were influenced by traditional healers. That we were not even close to one another and they got set free. What is that? It is kingdoms that are conflictive in nature. Are you there? Because God values the person, but he hates the demonic. Are you there? And that's why I rejoice when the demons scream out, because it's good for the people to understand that it's a spiritual world. It's not a physical one. It's a spiritual world in a physical world. Oh, okay. Can I go one step deeper here? Just one more. Because I want you to understand this. As it is in heaven, let it be so on the earth. Right? So whatever is a reality in heaven should be a reality here. Right? Everybody with me? So we are charged to bring the kingdom here. We are charged to bring heaven here. Are you there? Because we ourselves will go there, but as long as we are here, we are charged to bring heaven here. And so what the Lord will allow to happen in your life is you will face many storms. And the reason why you will face the many storms is because you have a chance then to prove you can bring heaven here. How will we know you're an overcomer if you've got nothing to overcome? How will we know that you are more than a conqueror if you've got nothing to conquer? How will we know you trust in healing if you've never needed to trust in healing? How will we know if you've never been tested? Come on. Every teacher puts the student to the test. But every test that you write, you should go to the next grade. If you write the same test again and again and again, that's just called stupid. No, write the test, carry on. Are you with me? I'll again use my own life as a testimony, and then I'm going to call you out because I'm going to activate you. When my father passed away went to be with the Lord, for 100 days I mourned my father. I mourned him for 100 days. I called out to God, like, why did you allow me to go through the storm? Why am I in the storm? Couldn't you choose a better time? Couldn't you choose a better moment? Why do you take everybody like this? First my mom, then my dad, then my friends. Then we need to lead a church, a mega church through the season. Why? That was my question. Why? I felt sorry for myself. Come on, who are with me here? Okay, nobody. Okay, great. I'm alone in this. Have you ever questioned God when you're in a storm? So 100 days into this, I'm going away. I went away on my father's birthday, 29th of Jan. My heart yearns for him. I said, Lord, where are you? 100 days in, God appears to me. He says this to me. He puts his finger like this into my heart. I was lying there on the bed. He puts his finger in. He speaks to me audibly. It says, Moses is dead. Joshua, arise. The spirit that was on him is with you. Then he said this, I heal your heart. Let's go. 100 days. Point is, from that time, if I look back, one day, can I give you another testimony? Let me tell you another story. Because I'm giving you stories that you can relate. Everybody goes through this stuff. Are you there? One day I'm sitting, I'm praying. I'm like, God, tell me, what are they doing? Just want to know, what are they doing? Because from time to time you miss the people you've greeted, right? By the way, it's a greeting, it's not a goodbye. No, some of you didn't catch that. It is a greeting. It is never a goodbye. Unless you don't do what you're supposed to do and you go to hell instead of heaven, then it's a goodbye. So I'm praying. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I know you love me. He says, yeah, I do. Because I know how to work this thing. I know your scandalous love. You love me, right? Yeah, I do. I'm like, show me what they're doing. And I ask him again. I said, show me, please. And the Lord takes me into a vision. I see my dad. His hair is thick, gold. He looks well built. He sits on the grass. Around him is a group of people. I know in the spirit, in the vision, I know all the people in that circle, but I can't see their faces. But I know them. And I know, and my mom sits to the left. I see her. But she doesn't respond to me. But all the others, I know them. And he sits and he plays the guitar. And he's worshiping. And as he's worshiping, he looks over to the cross, over his shoulder like this to me. And he says, go for it. That's it. And I come out of the vision. Jesus speaks to me. He says, I want you to know that he will worship me forever and evermore. Now I charge you, preach this gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, freely have received, freely give. I'm like, yeah, Lord. You have to understand, you serve a God that is more powerful than death itself. Oh, come on. That's the Jesus you serve. There's nothing that can separate you. Not hell, not hate, not the grave, not angels, not principalities. Nothing but nothing but nothing. Woo! Can't kill a person. I'm already dead. I laid my life down for Jesus. Can't kill me twice. You say, where do you get that from? Can I roll with this? Philippians chapter number, no, Galatians. That's why you need to know your Bible, by the way. Because I'm preaching now as the Holy Spirit throws it. Galatians. Listen to me. For all the people that are offended out there. All my people, tag the offended people. Oh, 2:21, I think. Pastor Eric, where is that scripture that says, I'm dead in Christ? It's Galatians somewhere, man. 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me say that again. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Let me read it again. Are you catching what I'm saying? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. In other words, you are sitting here, but according to this scripture, that's not you. It's Jesus living inside of you. Because if I read the Bible right, you no longer are called an old creation. You are called a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. Are you with me? So what am I saying and everything that I'm saying tonight? Because I want to minister to you tonight. What am I saying in everything that I'm saying? Very simple. This is what I'm saying. I am saying tonight in everything that I'm saying, in everything that I'm saying, that the whole world is yearning for the revelation of the sons of God. The whole world, because they remember a time that they were not under the curse, but they were freed from the curse. So the creation itself remembers a time that they were with God. Now Jesus came, worship team come, save me Revelation. Jesus came, he hangs on the tree. Cursed be he that hangs on the tree. He hangs on the tree. He takes up all of your sin, right? He dies, right? He pays for your sin, right? Now whosoever receives Jesus are called blameless in front of the Father. But listen to this. Jesus says, go and preach the gospel to all creation. Why? Wherever you are, it's not just about having a church. Jesus wants everything in this area to change because there's a kingdom reality here. That's why you'll never drive here around this building and you'll see the lawns are not cut and the things are not neat and clean. Why? It's the kingdom that is here. Are you there? Oh, okay. So, I enjoyed preaching this sermon tonight. What good will it do to understand all the stars of the sky and not live as if you understand that God chose you by name to live in this time so that your life can count for the eternal purposes of the Lord? Are you guys with me? And so tonight what I want to do is I want to activate you and everybody that's online. What I want to activate you in is very simply this, as the worship team are gonna sing a song. But I want to activate people in this place tonight. And this is what I want to activate. I want to get you out of your storm mentality back into a conquering mentality. I want you to get out of that place where you define yourself what has happened to you. No, define yourself as what's going to happen through you. Can I say that again? Don't define yourself by what has happened to you. Define yourself by what has happened through you. You have come through 2020. You have come through 2021. You have come through 2022. Now let's go for this with everything we've got. Come on, with the power that is inside of us, with the fire of God living inside of us, with the Spirit of the Lord living inside of us. Come on. It's time. Last thing I'll say, and then you guys can respond. You have to defend church. Let me say it again. You have to defend church. Let me say that again. You have to defend church. What we have in this nation is holy. It is holy. It's something Jesus chose. It's Jesus' bride. It is Jesus' model. It's not ours. He chose it. We have to defend it. Are you there? We have to be bold that we defend church, because more than any other season, we have to stand up and say, this is why we're together. This is why we worship. This is why we heal the sick. We are the church. Come on, are you there? Last thought, and then I want you to stand up and respond. The word church, the word ecclesia, the word ek means out. The word kaleo means called out. But the word ecclesia is not a Bible word. The word ecclesia was a Greek military word. And it meant this: those that calls the shots in society by which the society is modeled by. So when Jesus says you are the church, what he's actually saying, I've given you the power that all of the society needs to look at how you live your life, and then they need to do the same. Oh, come on. How can it be? Oh, Derek will love me for this. How can it be that I carry the power to heal somebody, yet I do not heal somebody because I'm somehow scared? Mia, we have to be people, because the Holy Spirit is too good to be kept for ourselves. Okay, I'm done. Listen, everybody that is online, there's a lot of people online. But you are inside the building. So, I'm going to lay hands on you tonight. I know the fire of God that I carry. I tell you, this hour, I hear God's voice better than what I've ever heard it before. I have greater intimacy of Jesus than ever before. If I look back over the last 2 years, I say, Lord Jesus, how is it even possible? The other day I was telling Jesus in prayer, I'm like, Lord, there's a lot of people following me right now. What do I do with all these people? You just bring them to me. I'll empower them. We send them out. I'm like, okay. I said, Lord, we can't make mistakes now. There's too many people. There's people in Durban that's following me. There's people in Cape Town following me. There's people in Secunda following me. There's people in Witbank following me. There's people in Joburg. There's people in Sandton. There's people across our nation following us. But we're from the north.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. We are the unqualified, qualified ones. Oh, that'll take you a moment to understand that. Kijk, ons is hier in Pretoria Noord. We'll hit you and then preach to you. Come on, all the Pretoria North people, say amen to that. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know. Amen. Okay, I'm naughty. Let me jump into this. It is like that, man. We still have the ones that say, yeah, we know about Jesus, but come, we'll sort you out. I want to pray for you tonight. I'm going to give you power, because he's empowered me to empower you. I didn't call myself, he called us. And so, let's do what he told us to do. Let's be the light. There are people here tonight. The Lord spoke to me about you before I came. He said to me, I must tell you, it's time to quit your storm. Don't let people label you. Don't let people say, ah, but that's that one that happened to. Hey, Satan gives label, Jesus gives names. Let the weak say. Let the poor say. Let the broken say, I'm whole. Let the widow say, I'm going to get married again. My life didn't stop or interrupt her. Are you there? You want to respond? Okay, jump out of those seats, come forward. Let's get you filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody that is online tonight, everybody that's online, quit your storm tonight. Say goodbye to the storm.